That's the biggest, huge, hidden problem in the King James Bible. Are you ready? Matthew 11. I'll use this verse. I was reading it again this morning, and I thought, oh boy. Everybody find it? Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come unto me. You know the verse? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Take my yoke upon you, and do what? Learn. Well, you say, what is the biggest problem the King James has? You just read it. This word. It's the preposition of. I don't know if it's 1611 English or if it's British as opposed to American English. I don't know what it is, but that is indecipherable, folks. Learn of me could be learn about me. But the problem is, it's the Greek preposition. Because of the next word begins with a vowel, it's the Greek preposition apa, which means Jesus is saying, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn in a personal relationship with me the rest of your life. Learn from me. You couldn't guess that in a billion years. Correct. Well, you could guess it, but it would be a what? It would be a guess. Now, I'm not saying, listen, I could spend all my time talking about the ESV or the NIV. I'm trying to be fair here. Galatians 4, verse 8 and 9. Pastor Crock, I'm going to have you read it. So what does it mean to be known of God? Well, but you're guessing. Well, you see, here's the problem with the word of. The word of, I'm going to be very technical, could come from the genitive in Greek, which can mean of. It could come from the word apa, which means from. It could come from the word hupo, which means by. It could come from peri, which means about. In this case, it's hupo. You're known by God. Folks, the King James has its problems. I'm not going to lie, nor am I going to let you lie. That's our church's stance. We're not having liars here. King James fell out of heaven in 1611. But I don't want to, now some of you aren't going to like where I'm going today either. There's other issues at stake. That's the biggest hidden problem, and I cannot fix it for you. I read the languages, I'm always reading the languages, and I'm always catching that of word. And it's just one of those, it's like of, and then the first thing you should be asking is, what does that mean? Okay? What I wanted you to see last week is this. There's a spectrum of translations. Here is my whole thing about translation philosophy. Let's not ask this question, which translation is good or bad? Of the major English translations, whether it be King James Version, New King James Version, can't even spell, whatever it is, here we go. The NASB, which are all very conservative, word for word. Whether it's the ESV, which is quite a bit less word for word. Whether it is the NIV, which is mushy. Let's not ask the question, is this good? Please, what's the question? Stop. Raise your hand. Tell me what the question is. Dave, good for what? That's exactly correct. You should learn, instead of going to a place and learning nonsense, what is translations good for? If you're going to read the book of Isaiah in one night, which I would highly recommend, you're going to see things you've never seen in your life when you quit reading, I read my daily devotions. Check. What did you learn? Nothing, but I did it. You sit down and read the book of Esther. You're going to, as I shared yesterday, I think, or with Dada recently, I learned things that I have never seen. Why didn't I see it? because we're too fixated on a verse. Just read it. So if you're going to read, I like the NIV. If you're going to memorize, I hate the NIV. Somewhere in between is the ESV. It's pretty good for daily reading. For memorization, I definitely wouldn't do this. I'm going to do this, but part of that is I'm old. I love it. You know, it comes out of me. I don't have a problem if you memorize. You're not going to memorize the NIV. I can already tell you this. Nobody memorizes it because it's too mushy. This is not too bad. So there's different purposes. If I'm going to study, I'm not going to study at all with this, and especially, which the New Living Translation would be for, honestly, for people that do not have good English skills. I'm not picking on. I love this couple. I love how she is, well, anyhow, I can't go into what she does to him. But English is not their first language. Not within a million miles. And King James English is not English. Yes? So, not even, not any place. Now, if you get someone that grew up maybe in India, now even you, you guys never used English, but in some areas in India, they use English. And when they do, they're going to use the King James because it's British. Some areas in Africa, though, Ade, you can still get confused, right? Yes. So my point is the New Living Translation is conservative enough, but it's dumbed down, as we've demonstrated, okay? All right. Is there any questions so far? By the way, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I already made my enemies. By the way, here is my problem, of which you'll hear soon. Our church is trying to do that which is impossible. I want to be a historic fundamentalist. I don't want to veer to the right and be a lunatic, and I don't want to compromise to the left, which ends up meaning what? Both groups hate us. This group over here talks about the King James, and then when you hear their preaching, you're like, why do you care which Bible you use? You never preach it anyhow. And this group over here, well, they don't preach the Bible either. They worship. Oh my goodness, Chuck L. sent me a song. You're going to see it. I'm like, and there was a church of 2,000 people. Hear the rhythm of heaven. That was the whole song. And they had the lights turned off and the spotlight on the worship leader. And it's like, oh Lord, deliver me from stupid. All right, in your notes, please. Let's go to English usage. That is the fourth concept. Everybody find that? Folks, there's only four issues in the translation. The translators, that is rather important. You don't want some yahoo, I'll just make it specific, from a hyper King James church going to Mexico and deciding this yahoo is going to translate the Bible into Spanish. You say, why? He doesn't read Greek, he doesn't read Hebrew. He doesn't understand the King James and he's bad at Spanish. Other than that, everything's good. Yeah, what? By the way, I have seen a guy by the name of Dr. Samuel Gibb say that. If a person wants to understand the Bible, he has to learn King James. In Russia. Okay, so we're not dealing with that stupid, okay? The textual basis is an issue. The translation philosophy is a big issue, but hear me. Use it for your benefit. Don't get in a fight. If I'm going to memorize Psalm 23, I'm doing the King James. If I want to read the book of Esther, now for me, I don't read the NIV. If I read through a whole book, because ESV is pretty easy, I just read through it. I'll do it with the King James too, but I'm weird. I've been doing this a couple weeks. But I will say sometimes you get yourself in Leviticus and try to work through it. English usage, I have in your notes, about, we're talking mainly about the King James here. This is the King James' greatest strength and greatest weakness. There is no question about it. King James English has a beauty that nothing touches. But it's also its greatest weakness. Why? Well, because it's not exactly modern English. So let's just read the Lord's Prayer. Whatever this is, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Everything is pretty good so far, right? I shall not. Now, folks, do you ever want anything? That's just a difference. And I don't know if it, somebody would have to tell me it's an English person. I'm not an English person. And when I say English person, I don't think we have any in our church. When I say English person, I mean a person that understands the arc of English language. Is this a British issue or is this an American issue? And I tend to think this actually might be more, the Brits speak differently than we do. Do you know that? Because I know one thing. If you read Churchill, Churchill used that language all the time. You know, you don't want to be in want. But it means need. Okay? That's just right in one of our favorite passages. To need or be in need, it's be the same, basically, Dave. No, I shall not be in need or I shall not have need, something to that effect. Yes. Then you run into these things here. Let's ask Michelle. Michelle, before you came to our church, had you ever heard this kind of thing? Maketh? No. Now, if I ask the average person in the King James Only Church, they don't know what that is either. They're used to it, correct? There's nothing wrong with it. And I said a couple weeks ago, in 1611, the King James translators, this was already gone then. They only used it for one reason, and I've told you that reason, which is this Bible was written to be heard, and it sounds like the Bible is rhyming when you have all those ETH endings. That's it. In 1611, this was Old English. Actually, this was Middle English. So maketh and taketh and wotteth and all of that stuff. Okay? He leadeth. Now you, I think Michelle's smart enough lady. When it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, he leads me. I think you can figure that out. Of course, most of us wouldn't know still waters. One young person in this room, not an old person that thinks they know. Anybody want to tell me what it means to be Jesus leads you beside the still waters? I would guess people in the city might not know. Do you know what happens in the country in the spring? Have you ever been around a creek? Do you want to drink water out of that flood water? He leads me beside what kind of water? The kind you can drink as opposed to muddy, trashy. Filipinos think vanilla in a flood. Atong. That stuff coming down the river. By the way, Atong, there's lots of rivers in Manila. Do you want to take a swim? You're going to go over and take your sweet daughters back, correct? Are you going to let them swim in those rivers? The ladies don't even remember those rivers. You will. Oh, they're very nice. Folks, you'd want to take vaccinations for a year before you dove into that. All right, we continue. Verse 4. Yay. Well, we got a problem right up front. What's yay mean? Yay! Oh, that's a different word. Yes, that's all it means. Yay, I like it, but it is kind of old English. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Again, can you get used to those? Look at me. I think most of this you can get used to. I don't think you can get used to this. I don't think you can get used to that. I don't think you're ever going, unless you do this, every single time you read, you stop and start asking you, what kind of is this? And maybe look up other translations or original language. Well, it continues on. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thy means what? Yeah, but your staff, your, yes. Thou preparest a table before me. And again, you got an EST. Thou anointest my head. My cup runneth over. By the way, in a couple of hours from now, about 3 hours, 3.5 hours, some of your plate is going to be running over. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of what? Want. And he's talking about need. He's not talking about wanting something. Is it always good to want? Well, the answer is that's called coveting. Not that Americans have a problem. By the way, there's no need for me to ever speak on coveting in America. You don't understand this is a sin so deeply ingrained in being American that you don't even recognize it's a problem. Dave, did you have a question, brother? Yes, yes. No, no. He's saying, because of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not. Yeah, well, it's the same concept. Yeah, but it's the same concept, Dave. The first one is the Lord is my shepherd. He's making a statement. You know, here is my premise. This is what I stand on. Or therefore. It's poetry. So poetry is always shortened. Yeah, therefore I shall not be in, or I shall not want. Yeah, yes. It means to be in need. Or no, because one's Greek and one's Hebrew, but same idea. Yes, Philippians 8, verse 30. And Philip ran thither and heard him read the thither. I like that thither. Now, my mother would use that. Was it ever in a good way? You guys are running thither and hither, and it was that means she was angry. Hither and thither. Prophet who? The whole sermon this morning is a mess. Because my whole sermon's on the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1, and all the names are wrong. And for some reason, by 1611, one thing that's just a weakness of the King James is they didn't make the Old Testament names the same as the New Testament. So if the Old Testament name was John, they put Juan or Sean or Johannes in the New Testament because one's Hebrew, one's Greek. What's Elijah's name in the New Testament? Elias or Elias. What's Elisha's name? It's a name you can't even pronounce, like Eleusis or something. It's like, where did that come from? All right, we continue. I don't want to spend any more time here, really. I do want to spend time in Acts 6, verse 9. Now, this is both a problem, theological, it's a historical problem, and it's an English problem. Dave, I'm going to have you read it in the ESV if you would, please. But before I do that, I heard a sermon by some redneck Baptist recently. And when I say redneck Baptist, what do I mean by that? I mean an uneducated fool. Remember, what's the worst combination? Ignorance and arrogance. Put them together, you have no hope. By the way, most King James people do not study the Bible. You ought to do this. You ought to go to the King James only kind of sermons on YouTube. Listen to 10 of them. And then listen to 10 guys that preach at Maranatha. I'm talking about the people we have here. You're going to immediately say, oh my goodness, there's a huge difference. There's a difference in the way they preach. There's a difference in content. There's a difference in everything. Why? One, people use the Bible as a platform. Now I'm going to tell you, you know what a platform? Let me use another language. They use it as a springboard. It's a way of getting in the pool. It's a way of getting to preaching. As we used to joke at Hiles Anderson College, read the text, depart from the text, never return to the text. Just preach it. You hear good preachers and folks, you're going to recognize it because the preacher is going to take a text and actually preach the ideas of the text as opposed to, but this guy wanted to preach on liberalism. He couldn't find the word liberalism in the Bible. So he found the word libertines. And he just ranted and raved about those libertines. You know what? They're of the devil. And by the way, here's a typical Baptist on both sides. My greatest weakness is I'm too direct, Ray. Atong, I know that. I'm a very direct person. I'm not going to preach against people who aren't here. I'm spending no time talking about these guys and no time talking about minimum, except if it helps us understand who we are. Well, he's preaching against these guys, of course, and probably us too. Libertines. So let's read the text in King James. Tim, would you read it for me? Yeah, it's in the notes. Oh, by the way, that is the ESV, Dave. It's already in the notes. Dave, you can read that. Now, what is libertines here? Folks, slavery was a real issue in the first century. Did you know that? There were so many people that were slaved that there was a synagogue in Jerusalem that was composed not of slaves, but of people that had been manumitted. They were set at liberty. That's just a historical fact. That's preaching about libertines. Do you understand? Look at me. It is important that a pastor preaches the Word of God and doesn't use the Word of God to abuse people. Well, it should be. And I'm going to say this. You got to be careful what your kids hear. Because after a while, if the Bible is a nose of wax, you can make it mean anything. Guess what? Kids can make it mean anything too. The Bible is not a nose of wax. It's the Word of God. Don't mess with the Scripture. All right, we continue. Oh, there you have it. Luke 4:25, in the days of Elias. That's how our friends pronounce their son's name. And the next one is Elisha. I honestly don't know for sure, Eliseus. That's obviously Elisha, right? That's the Greek form of the Hebrew name, what it is. All right. I'm not going to do any more. Let's go all the way down to 1 Peter 3 at the bottom. You see that? I have in there, I did this on purpose just to irritate everybody. King James is on the left. ESV is on the right. This is a perfect text to show you several different issues. So let's look back up here. I'm actually trying to teach some ideas, and I realized when I teach something that lasts 6 weeks, half of you are only here half of the time. And that's hoping you're awake. We've really been talking about, when you think about a translation, you have to think about the translators. You have to think about the textual basis, the philosophy of the translation, and its English usage. This is a perfect text that shows you all of it. Okay? So, let's read 1 Peter 3. Finally. Well, they both start with finally. Is that correct, ESV? Be all of one mind. I think that sounds as good as all of you have unity of mind. I don't think the ESV is any improvement at all on that. Have compassion one of another. And of course, it just combines that with sympathy. But that's the same idea, correct? And by the way, if you can look at the Greek word that parallels it, it's the word that means sympathy. It has paphos and soum. Then it says, love is brethren, or brotherly love. Philadelphoi. Same. The King James, this is definitely English usage. Be pitiful. You say, Pastor, I'm a pitiful individual. And I would say you're obeying the Scripture. You're pitiful. Now, there's no hope of someone like this, frankly, anybody outside of an English-speaking country, that have any idea where you get pitiful from, until you do the obvious, which is reverse the order of the word. Full of pity. How about this? You'll find this in all the old English writers. The word awful. They'll say God is an awful God, and you're like, full of awe. But you wouldn't say, I really want you to become pitiful. It just really doesn't work anymore, does it? Now, you can understand it. But that's an English usage problem. Everybody agree with that? The ESV constructs the whole sentence a little differently. There's only really one difference, which is the next word. This is a textual issue. Be courteous is a Greek word in the majority text, which is has the word love on the beginning, and it means to be courteous to people. The ESV has, and of a humble mind, because the critical text has a different word. Can you see that? I have the words lined up for you. You don't have to read it. So there's why you have differences. Now, real quickly, then there's the impossible choices. John 14:1. How many of you have memorized John 14:1? Anybody? Let not your heart... What? Pastor Koch, I do not have an eraser. I cannot believe I do not have an eraser. Can you procure me one someplace? Thank you. Yeah, I could use my yes, the backside. What if I was to tell you that there is a problem with a lot of verbs? Because Greek is, look at me, folks, this is technical. Greek, when it's second person plural, you all know what first person is. I better start with first person. I, plural is we, yes? Second person is you. Plural is, in the King James, is ye. We today say you. Doesn't help us. Thank you, sir. All y'all. Yeah, I've heard people say you-ins. Or my mother says that, you know, of course she's perfect in English. She says yous or you-ins, yous. It's hard to figure out how to say a second person plural. Folks, please look at this. It's not important that you know this ending. But second person plural. And if you don't have a clue what second person plural is, don't feel bad. I never did until I learned Greek and Hebrew. It's like second person who? You don't think like that. Why don't you think like that? You never learned the grammar. You just speak it. Rule number one, never ask a person that speaks the language as a first language about their grammar. They speak it. They don't understand it. It's people from the outside that come here and study the language that actually understand how it works, usually. And that's a joke in Greek, by the way. This can be this, an imperative, or it can be an indicative. Are you guys ready? Take a breath. This text could say this, let not your heart be troubled. Look at me, everybody. Believe in God. Believe in me. Two imperatives. Spelling's the same. It could be this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Indicative. Believe also in me. That's how the King James does it. It could be two indicatives. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe also in me. Are you catching on to this? Translators are going to have to do what? Unless you're retarded, you realize translators are not inspired. They have to make choices. The King James made the choice of this. The first statement is an indicative. It's a given. The second statement is an imperative. Okay? You say, which is correct? Well, let's see how the ESV does it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. It makes both, I think, a what? I think both of them are imperatives in ESV. Next page. NIV, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Indicative. Believe also in me. Imperative. New Revised Standard, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe. Two imperatives. NASB says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Which one are correct? I'm not sure there's a huge difference. And I don't know that I would formulate a new doctrine around that. Questions so far? We have 15 minutes to finish. So we're going to ask a question. So what should we do? And please, somebody, Jim, would you do me a favor and actually read what I say? Stay awake. What should we do? And who is the we I'm talking about? Jim, read that for me, please. There's more we's than one. Is that correct? Yes or no? And here I think we run into a rub sometimes. I think there are more we's. I do not think a church has to dictate, and as long as I'm here and he's here and Dada's here, no one's ever going to do the game they play in some King James churches, which literally is check people's Bibles. Mary, you're looking at me funny. There are churches that do this. They're usually churches of 12, but they do it. So, can I tell you something? What we do as a, listen, what we do as a church is not exactly what we do as a school. It's not exactly what you necessarily need to do as a family, which might not be exactly what you do as an individual. There might be more than one answer for very good reasons. All right, thoughts. We should have and read the Bible, in my opinion, in our what language? The King James Version is? Is it anybody's heart language in this room? No. I will say this, though, that's not our problem today. Please look at me. Because of texting, instant messaging, we're not really sure what the heart language of people are today. So this is another thing you have to consider. If you dumb down the Bible enough for the average person to understand it, it's no longer the Bible. Because if I seriously asked you this question, how many of you last year read 5 books, not novels, not romance, not fantasy? I know you have. Books. We're not a reading people here. And I don't understand that because look at the guy you're looking at. This guy here reads 3 to 5 of those a week. Jim, I know you've read more than 5. Guys, if you're not a reading public, do you expect normal people to read? See, our problem is we don't read much. And the ones that do read novels, I guess it's better than nothing. Well, that's a given. Well, if you read Russian literature, you read forever, and you're depressed when you get done. I have this in your notes. I thought you might like this. Please put the pram in the boot. Fill up with petrol so we can go see the chemist. That is actually a sentence from a newspaper. That's English, folks, British English. Say, what's the pram? I don't know. Yeah, that's what you call it. Yeah. How do you know it's a pharmacist? Frenchie goes to different kinds of pharmacists. Anyhow. I say in your notes, many are quick to abandon any and all things that smell of tradition. And folks, let me say this in this room. Again, I have already said, you need to ask questions of this. What should you do? I have been asking for the last 3 or 4 years that you read more than one version. Because I've started to realize you're not getting what if you're reading, you're not getting it. Which maybe is a problem of translation. I don't want to say that you're not saved. Because, you know, people that are unsaved do not hear God's word. I would never want to say that about somebody in a place like this. So the problem must be the English language. So I would recommend you read more than one version. That's as a person, as an individual. You're going to have to determine what you do in your family. And by the way, in my family, I never sat down with the giant King James Bible and taught my children the Bible. I actually taught children the way you're supposed to, around the table, taking a walk, the normal activities of life. Which is the only way you'll actually teach your children anyhow. Oh, excuse me, that's the only way they're learning from you. Hello? They're watching that. They know exactly who you are. So, you see the statement in your notes? That's the most provocative statement I've ever read. I read it probably 40 years ago. Never take a fence down. I'll skip the suicide. Never take a fence down until you know why it was put up. Fences not only keep things out. Folks, if you don't memorize that today, you're a different person than me. Do you understand the impact of that statement? See, here we have in our churches this. We have talked endlessly My daughter's younger than me. She's younger than Tim. Young people come to our school and they have lots of ideas. Lots of good ideas. Who is always the slowest? Why? Because I don't like change. Actually, change doesn't really interest me, good or bad. This idea has captured me. By the way, folks, I am, in case you don't know, a conservative, which means this: I believe in conserving the best of everything from the past. And the way forward is conserving the best of the past. Progressives. Who cares about that? Dead white people. Where do you think this country came from? So I think we have to be careful that we don't chuck everything out. So I'm not trying to make anybody mad. This is the answer to what we do in church, not your personal life, which I don't make. I make this requirement: read the Bible in a way where you actually understand what it's saying. Hey, so you can look back in 10 years like Rick Melvin did to me this week and talk about actual growth in his life. Revolutionary talking to Rick. From when he first came here till now. Why? He's grown. So, never take a fence down until what? So, let's throw out some things for all of you. No. That is a Roman Catholicism. G.K. Chesterton, to be exact. You all listen to any of this? Yes. I could list 20 things. Now you hear me. The people that are going to go, listen, I am not defending any kind of King James only foolishness. But people that have a problem with that, you're going to learn something else if you have ears and eyes. They're also shucking a lot of other things. Because once you start doing this, it gets increasingly difficult to keep things out, and then all of a sudden stuff on the inside starts leaking. There's an interesting video online. I don't remember who it's by. If I can find it, I might show it in this Sunday school, where the guy said, have you ever understood what a pulpit was for and why we had one for 500 years? A pulpit in a church has a purpose. The pastor's not there to share. And be one. The pastor is there to preach the word of God and represent God in his word to you. And churches have moved away from that because that's confrontational and that's the Bible. I want the pastor to feel with me and cry with me and get drunk with me. Okay? So you get rid of this. Look at me. Every church nearly in the Greenville area that has shifted to newer versions has shifted to music. Emily, if you went back in that area, you're going to be shocked at the churches. I'm talking about Hampton Park. Bob Jones University transferred off campus for 40 or 50 years. A lot of people didn't want to go there because it's like, I had enough of Bob Jones, so I want to go to church now. I don't want to say this in a mean way. Please look at me. Stuff's going on in these churches that were fundamentalists for 40 or 50 years. I don't know what caused it, but I do know this. I am a conservative. I want to make sure I understand, if I take this fence down, what that means. Is that okay with you? That's the reason I do some things and don't do other things. I'm slow about everything. My daughter, since the day she came here, doesn't like the dress code in the school. Not because she doesn't mind wearing a dress. There's some other issues. But I was at the play Thursday night and saw girls in those stinking, what are those filthy things? Leggings. Why does a Christian woman wear it in public? Tell me. Because once you throw out some standards, all of a sudden everything is okay. No, it's not. Got my point? Be careful about what you throw overboard. You might lose more than you thought. and churches are doing it every day. I'm not interested in looking women looking like they're in the Amish country. Neither am I interested in looking our girls and women looking, it's like, come on, I don't want to see that. How about looking modest, godly? There's somewhere in between Amish and godly is some pretty healthy land. Ungodly and Amish. There we go. All right, in your notes, here's my issues. You do what you want with them. I think we have three issues we have to think about. The potential loss of Christian history and continuity. This actually was a Southern Baptist quote from a guy in the Southern Baptist, a big guy. He says, at the bed of a senior saint, what do you read to them? Well, they don't want to hear the New Living Translation. And what do you sing to them? They don't want to hear one more song that says, we will love you. We will really love you. We will love you even more. Shut up. Think of visiting a church in 2019 and going back 100 years. Have you ever thought? Kevin Botter introduced me to this idea. Think about this, folks. Baptists have been in recorded time. We can go back to 1600s. Can you imagine? Most Christians don't even know anybody existed before them. Hey, look, we invented Christianity. Not this kind of a church. Yes, ma'am. We say. Actually, youth today, the only hope we have of youth today, and maybe I'll talk about this next week, not next week, Bowder's here, I think. The only hope we have, sister, is giving them a full-fledged Christianity that does three things. Are you ready? Are you ready? Number one, that answers this question, is this true? Number two, does this resonate with my experience? And number three, does this work? And if it doesn't work in your life, they're not interested. Just that simple. They see miserable marriages, miserable people, people that are fake. They're out of Dodge. They're out of Dodge. That's basic Christianity. To know Him, to love Him, to serve and obey Him. Is it true? Does it resonate with me? And does it work? And they look and say, well, it doesn't work. What am I bothering with? It's not true. It doesn't work. I'm out of here. Kids aren't stupid. But you can get a crowd that way for 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, they get crowds, but they're just, you find them all over the place, so-called Christians. Let me give you the rest of this real quick. By the way, folks, I'm going to do this sometime. You're going to be with me. The biggest loss is the potential loss of Christian hymnology. I would recommend some of you do something. Take the hymnal we have and read the hymns and notice something. Where does the language come from? The King James Version. You ever wonder why when we get rid of the King James Version? Again, what am I talking about? Church. Then the music changes too. And the doctrine changes. Pastor Warren is going to do the unthinkable. In the near future, and you're going to work with me, we are going to take hymns and reverse engineer them. We're going to say all you do is sing your music. Let's take your hymns and see if we can produce the theology of the Scripture from them. If you take our hymn book, you can produce almost every doctrine that's big. And even, do you not know this? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It is finished. You can go down the line. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, which has the Trinity. You read modern hymns and you know what you find? It doesn't sound like the Bible, and you cannot reverse engineer back and say, here's my doctrine from my hymns. The last one, folks, and we're late, forgive me. Please look at me. Here's the last one. Jim and I talked about this last week or the week before. This might already be gone. But you know America is English-speaking? Did you all know that? The moment we lose the King James, and even in our churches, we're letting loose of something else. Our heritage. Did you understand that? You say, that's not a big deal. That's not the only issue. But don't kid yourself. Most people in this room could not read the Federalist Papers. I've put them out here before, and I noticed a lot of folks don't get them because they're hard to read. English has changed. There are some things, folks, once you give away some things, you do give away things you don't think about. My goal is not to be some stick-in-the-mud curmudgeon that never wants to change. I've already changed. I've changed on this issue because I want you to understand the Bible. Read it in ESV if that helps you. Okay? But there's other things that I'm interested in too. I am a conservative. I want to conserve everything. Oh, wait a minute. Look at me. That includes our government. I like our form of government. I think it's the greatest form that's ever existed on earth and ever will exist, except when Jesus rules and reigns himself. Do we have young people want to give that away? Yes or no? And older dummies, hey, free college, free health care. Does this make you think about some things? Yes or no? Now, go home and do this. All I want you to do is do this. You make choices, but they might not be the same choice for each realm that you exist in. And that's fine. We don't all have to. But at the same time, I think we want to conserve something. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time in Christ's name.